Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper, filling in for Jeffrey Davis this morning. Our next guest in the studio is Dino Cattaneo.
Yes, you got it right. Most people don't.
He's the founder of Hoolybean.
Yes.
So tell us about Hoolybean and who you are, how you got here.
So Hoolybean is my marketing consulting practice. I call myself a jack of all trades and master of one. I am a strategist, a marketing strategist with a deep expertise into execution on across digital channels. I would say I ended up in this place. In the course of my life, I had sort of two very separate personalities. I had an artist desire. You know, I wrote. I was in bands. I did theater, and I wanted that to be a part of my life. But at the same time, a very quantitative background. So I have a master's in economics. I have an MBA. I started my career in investment banking and consulting. And what I love when I ended up landing in digital marketing, what I love about it is the fact that it's one of the few trades where you're really balancing the two sides of the brain, because you have all this data and this quantitative analysis, but ultimately you need to turn it into emotional insights that are going to help you connect with your customers. So by starting my own business, I've worked for about 15 years in large agencies, and then as a digital marketing officer at a private equity backed company. And then I finally took the business on my own to really be able to focus on a smaller but very selected type of clients that have a specific profile that I enjoy working with.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that profile?
Yeah, so I like clients who look at the business world and at how digital plays within the business world, sort of like with the same way that I look at them. I think they're, you know, so I look at digital as a integrated part, very important, but of an overall marketing strategy. I like people who understand that when you're putting media in market, you're putting media in market with different goals. You know, even though the concept of the marketing funnel has gone, you know, it's gone away, a lot of people, there's a marketing, to look at it more like as a marketing cycle or circle, consumer will connect at different points. I still do think that there's different communications serve different purposes. You know, people need to know who you are, so you're going to have communications that raise awareness, and then communication to do conversion. And I want to work with clients who understand that you need to have the right mix of those type of communications in your marketing portfolio, and you need to measure the right outcomes. And then I want clients who have a certain level of digital sophistication so that I don't have to spend a lot of time explaining to them why we're doing things a certain way. And then finally, I want my direct client to be somebody who has the ability to put things into market. I have spent a lot of time in my past with very large organizations, and I, you know, I do realize there's a balance between having an organization that has the resources to do meaningful things in market, and then have a certain amount of leanness. I spend my fair share of time helping people. I sort of get approval for projects, etc. But I think that there needs to be, so that needs to be just a, let's say 50% of my time is helping them sell the project inside the organization. So
I was just going to ask you, like, where do you, you know, it sounds like you have a very specific goal for your clients to be like, that they may not even need you in some ways, that they have sophistication, they have.
Well, it's sophistication up to a certain level. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference between the person that has never done any digital and the person that is doing some digital but is transitioning. For instance, last year I worked with a Fortune 50 company that does a lot of their marketing is done through still mass marketing and television, but they also have a very deep conversion funnel on digital channels. Those two groups are separate. The traditional marketing team still needs the, you know, is still driven by traditional media and creative processes, but they needed a certain level of understanding how their work was translated into digital. And so I work with my clients to help set the level of competencies and then train the people to know what they should know about digital and as they think about their work.
Yeah,
so it's like, not, yeah.
I was going to say, it seems like the reverse might be true too, that the digital yes. might need to learn about the creative side of that too.
Yeah. I think, you know, I've been working in digital channels since 1999. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, so I rode the whole maturation curve. And I think that we went to the place where people thought about the technology first. Then people were starting understanding the strategy was still important. And now you're starting to see that technology and or the digital experience drives the whole experience, but it's still integrated. And especially as you're dealing with consumers like millennials and Generation Z, who are a lot more comfortable transacting online, you're seeing that sometimes you have businesses that are starting from a digital point of view and then go into non-digital. I think one of the most fascinating trends for me right now when I look at retail is the emergence of brands like Warby Parker, Bonobos, you know, these brands that were started as pure online brands that now are creating specific physical retail locations in places that have high traffic so that the consumers can try their product, but because their consumer is comfortable with the digital delivery, they don't have, you know, they don't need like a enormous amount of retail space to showcase their product because you're comfortable working into a Warby Parker location at the Prudential Center, trying your glasses on and then having them delivered at home. And I think that trend in retail is sort of symptomatic of how digital is now really part of the overall experience and not just a standalone capability.
So would you say your practice is B2C mostly or B2B or?
A little bit of both. I've done, so in my, you know, I have helped in the, my almost 20 years in the business, like I've helped Best Buy launch the test of the reward zone, and then I've helped Microsoft create a strategy to market to mid-market technology companies. I've, you know, we've redesigned the website for Kronos, that is a local software management. I've done, and then I've done a lot of consumer financial services work for insurance companies and banks. So I would say I am both business to business and business to consumer. I think my specialty is in understanding the levers of the business and sort of what is going to get somebody to make a decision. Mm-hmm. You know, and in a lot of ways, like the decision making process is very similar. Whether you're a senior executive or a consumer, you go through the sort of needs mm-hmm. that you need, and it's a very rational. But then at the end of the day, there's always like an emotional component. You know, it's like the example I worked for Bain and for Lehman Brothers. You know, we were in our fields at the time, we were the sort of the upstarts, right? Mm-hmm. Or like not the leading, the big brand sort of. And so you think about when an executive is going through a review of a series of consulting firms and they need to choose who to take. Well, some people like to have the safety of a McKinsey or Goldman because mm-hmm. that's the safest brand. And there's an emotional connection in that decision that is mm-hmm. at the same time connected to the you know, once their needs are met, there's like the emotional need that mm-hmm. or emotional
absolutely.
Choice. Yeah.
Right. And then there's, you know, the price shoppers, yeah. different you know, psychographics and like, that you're dealing with.
Like I worked for GM for a while, was one of my clients. Like a car is like the second largest purchase that people make. And it's such an emotional purchase ultimately, you know. Yeah, sure, you go through, you have like a series of like, oh, I have a family, I need a, you know, six people, but I still feel like I'm cool, so I don't want a minivan, I'll get an SUV, or you know, a certain American brand will have a certain connotation or a foreign brand. So I think that the decision, if you're able to identify what are the emotional levers in that purchase decision and more what are the rational levers, and communicate your offer in a way that is going to move the right levers, I think that business to business or business to consumer is somewhat the same process.
All right. So now we're going to shift gears a little bit and move over to social media. For
yes.
So you just talked about sort of an enormous amount of psychological elements going yes. into customer purchasing. How does that play out in social media campaigns, Facebook, Twitter, right. Google search engine kind of marketing?
So the first thing in social media is you need to know who you're trying to reach. Mm-hmm. and you need to think about the channels where the people are. So I will use actually a, so my wife is a singer-songwriter and I help her manage her career. She's in the folk Americana genre. The people that come to the shows tend to be a slightly older audience, you know, like maybe 25, 30 and up. So I will not tell her to be on Snapchat or, you know, her main channel, like Facebook is still a really important channel for this genre. Instagram is an important channel. If you're trying to reach obviously a younger generation, then you're going to go to channels like Snapchat and some of the other up and coming network. The, you know, when I think about social media is identifying your audience, then thinking about how you're going to balance the content and the value of your messaging with whatever it's the advertising. So there's definitely a perception that, you know, Facebook pages no longer get organic traffic. I think that is true up to a certain point. Because ultimately, if you think about, and I think this is true about Google, Facebook, Twitter, any one of these networks, if you think about the way they make money with eyeballs. And so their primary interest is in retaining the traffic. And so when, you know, when Google serves the best possible search, their goal is to make sure that your needs are met, and then you're going to come back to Google the next time you search. When Facebook shows you a piece of content, they want to make sure that you like what you've been shown and send it back. So as a brand, if you are creating content that resonates with your audience and then and that gets organic engagement, that content will be played. You know, and you know, I'll go back to an example that we've had. My wife's page has about 10,000 followers. We had one song she created. She had a project where she got 30 musicians, 30 women musicians from the Boston area, from different genres and ages, wrote this song. It's called Sister of a Different Skin, that is about sort of equality and female empowerment. We launched the video off her page on the day of the Women's March. Mm-hmm. And the video on the page got 50,000 views on a page that has 10,000 fans and engagement. And then once we started getting that engagement, we follow that with a little bit of paid advertising that was targeted very specifically at certain areas that are like more of a progressive base and targeting only women. And so when that advertising is targeted, you have valuable content that is targeted at the right audience. The people that see the paid advertising will actually share it. You know, I did some work for the Chevalier Theater, which is a theater in Medford. We promoted at about 2 years ago, we had the Bee Gees cover band, right? So I created a minute and a half video of this Bee Gees cover band, like sort of their best hits. And then I targeted regionally the people that were in the close to the theater and then had an interest in disco, and then I listed a number of disco mm-hmm. acts from the 70s. And in addition to the I don't remember have the number off the top of my head now, but like, you know, we got 20-30% organic traffic from people that were seeing that video, and they were like, oh, that's great. And they would share it and tag their friends who were also fans of the band. So the moving this back to the question general about social media is, if you think about the way that this network work, which is they want to serve content that will get their eyeballs back. As a brand, if you create content that is useful, helpful, or engaging to your specific audience, you can use a combination of your organic traffic and the paid traffic to increase the engagement.
Excellent. Good advice. Thank you very much. We're running out of time here, so
sorry.
people want to get in touch with you and learn more about what you do. What's the best way for them to contact
Best way
you?
To go Dino, D-I-N-O, at Hoolibean, HOOLIBEAN.com. The site will be launched at some point. I have kept the business sort of mostly referral and word of mouth so far, and I haven't had the need to have the site, but the site will be up, and I'm also on LinkedIn. Once again, Dino, D-I-N-O, and then Cattaneo, C-A-T-T-A-N-E-O.
Thank you very much. Our guest has been Dino Cattaneo of Hooli Bean.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.